candidates.
A handout for it.
For me.
Okay, welcome everybody. We're going to start our in-home support service public authority of Amador County Board of Governors meeting at 10:40 a.m. That said,
so long ago,
call a meeting to order, agenda.
Move approval of the agenda.
Thank you.
Second.
Governor Plash and Governor Onetto. Any questions on the agenda? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, hearing none. Thank you. With that said, we'll go on down to the public matters not on the agenda. Anybody from the public like to care? Make a comment, or any governors like to make a comment?
No.
Hearing none. Move on down to miscellaneous matters, minutes. Through the meeting minutes for November 22nd, 2011 as presented or revised.
Minutes look good. You know, my only comment was, should instead of calling us directors, should we be called governors?
I think we are governors.
In the minutes, I think, is Governor Boitano's question.
We are governors.
So I'd make a motion to approve the minutes with those changes.
Okay, thank you, Governor Boitano. Thank you, Governor Plaz. Any further questions? Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Thank you. Moving on down to item 2, 2012-2013 budget. The 2012-2013 public authority budget was prepared by Diana Norland, manager, and reviewed by Karen Scaccianosi, fiscal officer, then submitted directly to the Board of Governors for review. The board noted that the public authority fiscal portion does not appear to be deteriorating. Revenue and expenditures were reviewed with the board, starting reimbursements come from the federal and state, minimal from the county with no adverse effects to the general fund.
That is correct, sir. The this does not affect the general fund, and the IHSS budget is self-supporting.
Okay.
Was this, we had a few public comments early on in the year from some folks addressing some extra revenue that was coming into IHSS. Is that reflective here? Because we're actually seeing a significant increase in the budget.
There was an increase in the budget, and that is, I believe that is reflected, correct, Diana, in this budget, yes.
Is Diana, do you know, is that revenue that we were told by IHS providers, I guess, some parents of disabled kids and so forth, that
you got to come up. I'm sorry, Diana, I can't hear you. Going deaf in my old age.
That was a very small refund processed. It actually doesn't reflect in that because it was supposed to be.
So the salaries that we see here in this budget are not provider salaries?
Oh, no, those are mine.
Oh, okay.
Staff, my.
Been a nice bump this year.
So?
It's in anticipation of a reclassification, but the reclass hasn't been done yet.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing the work of the director and the registry coordinator since. I'm just combining.
Okay.
Yeah, Ted and I recently ran into that same individual, and she came up to us and said, make sure you give us a raise.
Providers,
Yeah.
We work hard for their $850.
No, I understand. This one individual is taking care of her son.
It's a tough job.
Yeah, there's about 145 providers, and that's family providers, registry providers, and just regular providers. It's, I have about 40 registry providers that I refer out myself, and then family is more than half of the providers. I'd say between 70 and 80 of those are family.
I'm helping take care of my mother-in-law. Should I be getting paid?
Yeah,
you could be.
I qualify.
I was in the same boat. We took care of my dad for 13 years. It is a lot of hard work.
No, it is.
Yeah, I didn't get paid for it, nor did I want anything. It was just what I thought was my job, so I did it.
It probably depends on how mobile they are, how hard the job is, but sometimes it can get really tough. Yeah, it's true.
I wouldn't want to be the person that goes up to a 90-year-old that's been living in this house for 90 years and say, it's time for you to move out, sir, because I wouldn't want to be that individual at that time. It'd be a tough task. Any family member,
kind of in the middle of a case like that right now. It's a husband and wife that have qualified for IHSS, getting services for about a year, and she became very ill. She's in the hospital, and he has Alzheimer's. The son is in the home with him, but it's a 24-hour job with her gone, and the provider's in there, and he is completely out that his wife is not in the home at this time, contact with her, and so. Trying to help them.
Tough task. Any other questions in regards to...
Move approval of the budget as presented, 2013-14 IHSS.
Thank you, Governor Plaz. Thank you, Governor Boitano. Any further questions? Hearing none, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Thank you. Thank you, Diane.
Well, thank you, Mr. Norris.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Put our supervisor hat back on now.
I guess with that.
You just got demoted from governor to supervisor.
Thank God.
Adjourn the Board of Governors meeting and resume the.
We're adjourning the Board of Governors meeting.
Yeah, and then resume as the.
Go ahead, Chuck. Can I say something?
Thank you, Chairman Governor.
You're welcome. And we're resuming back to our Board of Supervisors meeting. Thank you, Diana. We're going down to item 8, Senate Gun Control Bill, discussion and possible action relative to support of a letter initiated by Sheriff Martin Ryan to Governor Edward Brown, Jr. relative to Senate Gun Bill Control Bills.
An excellent letter that he wrote.
Right. I think most of us complimented him when he did it.
Yep.
It was a very good letter. I think I did.
Yeah, I complimented him for it.
I think it would behoove us to do something similar ourselves, but I think we need to copy as many legislators as possible. Definitely the governor want to see him veto it. I don't know if it's too late where we're at in all the process and all of this, but... highlighted copy to Senator Pro Tem Steinberg.
And the problem I have, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of gun owners that are law-abiding citizens, have been for a long time, but if you push people far enough into a corner, they're going to say, you know what, they're going to feel like the laws are unjust and the system's not working, and once somebody jumps over that fence, there's nothing to keep them in that fence, they're going to say, you know what, if I broke one law, maybe I'll just break a few more, and what the hell. One of the things, one of this legislation they had, I don't remember where I saw it, one of the things being proposed had something where, if you had ammunition on school grounds that you're in violation. I would like to know what percent of the Amador County residents, if you went and looked in there, if they're in their vehicle, especially a pickup, if you wouldn't find a round bound behind a seat or in a glove compartment or stuck around or rounds, I'll bet you in the pickups that go in that school, at least a third of them. So the question I'd have if you get pulled over for, say, you're speeding or, say, your taillight's out or whatever, and if you have a real ambitious cop and they see around in your, say, your ashtray because I don't smoke or wherever, does that mean I'm now a possible felon, or is it just a misdemeanor, or am I now a lawbreaker just for taking my kid to school?
Well, the whole thing is a problem. They're making out laws out of everybody. If you have a high-capacity magazine, on and on and on. Now they want
to have a detachable magazine.
Yeah, detachable.
Not high-capacity.
They want to ban lead ammunition. Here's the problem. We've got a great sheriff. And, I know he supports his constituency, and they may not push a lot of these violations, so to speak. But the problem is so you're out in the back road, and here's a fish and wildlife officer. Now, they're the ones I'd be worried about because they're going to look for everything they can. So that's the problem. I'm not particularly worried about our local law enforcement. I'm worried about what they call themselves, fish and wildlife officers now.
Well, and Forest Service.
And hopefully maybe that problem will get taken care of.
Yeah, they got those law enforcement officers. I had one constituent tell me that when they were stopped last year riding their UTV up on a designated road, that the Forest Service ranger told him, but I could write you for open container right now because that ice chest in the back of your UTV, which it's a Razor, and it, we all know, has a very small area right behind the seats to store any kind of cargo, was within reach of the driver. He said, I could write you an open container citation right now because your ice chest that had some beer in it was in arm's reach of the driver.
But now, does a bottle have to be open, or
Not what this Forest Service ranger was telling.
Wow.
Well, yeah, and back to this thing. I mean, there's so many things. They're going to make criminals out of honest citizens. And it really bothers me, and I think they're just going too far. And then we have things that exacerbate the situation, like the shootings down in Southern California last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. And now they had some this morning. Two LAPD members were shot this morning down Wilshire. Department. They took them to the hospital. They didn't give a condition, but it made national news. So all this stuff is just compounding, and our legislators down there think, well, let's, for the good of the people, let's protect them, and let's do this and let's do that, and they just keep passing this stuff, and they're not really thinking about what they're passing.
Well, and the thing is, a lot of times there's a problem. It's like, say your hand hurts. Say you have a sore finger. Do you chop off your hand? No. A lot of times, it seems to be some of the solutions. Some of the legislative bodies take, my hand hurts, let's chop it off. Well, that's not the answer. There was another piece of legislation. I think it was AB 52. But I'd like to send a blanket letter to the governor. But the AB 52 had something in there where if you get convicted of a DUI, I think when you're driving or boating with like two additional charges, that you can have a gun for, I don't remember if it was 10 years or forever. And you look at that and you go, okay, well, yeah, it's all good and fine. But so, okay, so you're saying you can't have a gun because you're a dangerous person now because you had DUI. Well, the question I'd ask, okay, well, if that's the case, we ought to look at all the politicians that ever had a DUI with offenses, and they shouldn't be able to hold office. And you airline pilots that had something similar should not be able to fly an airline because, an airline is really dangerous. Look at 9/11. And you can go right on down the list. Doctors that had a DUI, they shouldn't be able to operate. But yet they'll pick out the gun and say, oh, well, you can't have a gun because, you had this offense. I'd like to know how many people had DUIs that out there. And I think he had to have two offenses, but you can get it. Say you're driving under influence, say you hit a car, and then you maybe you're a little bit belligerent or something like that. Well, that would probably qualify. So it just seems like they're going way overboard and want to severely restrict our gun rights. And yet, in the same aspect, I look around and I see where it's okay to give pay for prisoners to have sex change operations in prison, and a lot of these people that commit, not sex change people, but leave them aside, but a lot of the convicts that have been convicted of real heinous crimes, they give them a few years and then they let them out, and then they go out and do some even more dastardly crimes, and then they'll give them a few more years and let them out. I'd like to see some of those people done away with.
And we voted to do that. I mean, what they're doing is they're, you know, restricting the rights of honest citizens, and they're doing nothing for criminals, because they're the ones that are going to have all this stuff anyhow.
And
they're not going to stop that, and, you know, that's the way it is.
You know, our sheriff references the 100,000-plus gang members in just two counties in California and asks, you know, do you expect that they're going to register their weapons, abandon their large-capacity magazines, and submit to background checks?
And, you know, on that note, Supervisor Plasm, I'm glad you brought it up, because I watched a TV show a while back, and it's something about gangs of South America. And they're going around all these gangs. It was amazing how many people are in it. I mean, there's quite a few people in these gangs, and a lot more young kids. And they sent me, I'd like to know how they got their guns, but they don't want to ask the question because it might be very offensive to the gang members, you know. And they're kind of, probably if you're going on a TV show like that, and you're going to gang territory, as I guess you call it, a guest, to do a show, you've got to probably be careful what you ask. So one of the gang members said, would you like to know where we get our guns? They said, oh, yes, we really would, the producer said. We get them from the police.
I was say, from the United States Attorney General.
That was like, you're talking Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious.
Oh, wait, but he didn't know nothing about that, you know.
He'll be on the Dream Team in a couple of years.
But, no, so the point I'm making, so in South America, I'm in the country of El Salvador or Guatemala, on a TV show, they're saying, we buy our guns from the police. So if that's the case, don't you think the American citizenry and our forefathers were very smart and have a lot of foresight to make sure that the common person is armed and capable of defending themselves? If you have the police, and I'm not calling the police in America crooked, not at all. I mean, you'll find there's probably, like anywhere, you'll probably find an officer here that has done something bad, but overall I'd say our police department is probably very honorable people and do a good job. But when you get some of these countries where you get something like that, you got a problem. I was talking to a young lady probably 3 years ago. No, this is pertinent. I might want to rattle on.
Have this discussion at lunch.
No, but I mean, it's just background. She's from El Salvador. And she came there, and she's talking about there. They have El Salvador, Guatemala. They had a civil war going on there, and her mother got them out of the country, came to America. I said, why'd you come? Well, civil war. And she says you had the government forces were shooting and killing and doing other nefarious deeds. She says, you had the rebels shooting and killing, and both sides, right, were killing, and women were getting raped, and her mother got her out of the country. And she also said, we got robbed, you know, down there. I said, what did the police do? She said, oh, we didn't call the police. I said, you didn't call the police. Why didn't you call the police? She said, oh, she's down where that country, she's not like America. The police come and help you in America. She's down there. They come, maybe they rob you again or rape you or kill you or whatever, so you just get robbed and leave it at that. So, anyway.
I told you about those countries, didn't I, one time?
Yes. I think the American public needs to keep their guns. It's basically, it's the last resort against a despotic government. And you look around the world, what's happened today, I see a lot of people out there throwing rocks and bottles and they're getting shot.
Well, as my reading of the Constitution, we're to be armed against the tyranny from the government itself.
Exactly.
Now, the other thing that I wonder about is, you know, they want us to turn in all these high-capacity magazines and blah, blah, blah. Are they going to reimburse people for what they've got into this stuff? I recently, a few years ago, I bought what they call a Skybar gun rack. It bolts to the ceiling of your pickup. I can't use that now because of the new laws. You're supposed to have your gun in a scabbard and all that stuff, and it won't work in that particular gun rack. Are they going to give me my $125 back that I spent for that worthless Skybar? I guess I could put a carpenter's level in it.
Put your fishing poles up there.
Well, it's like Senate Bill 53.
My 9-foot five pole.
Senate Bill 53 requires persons to buy an annual ammunition purchase permit, requires a registration thumbprinted purchaser for each ammunition purchase and bans online and mail order sales of ammunition to Californians. And it passed the Senate by a 23-15 vote.
Well, you know, they tried that before in this state. I used to sell ammunition in my past life, and we had pages and pages and pages of ammunition that we sold, 22 shells on. Anything could be put in a handgun had to be registered. Nobody ever came and took a look at it. And when we went out of business, I threw them in the 55-gallon drum and lit them on fire, and that was before they were banned.
Yeah, yeah. Was that before you could burn garbage? You had a burn barrel.
So, you know, I mean, I just wonder where they're going with this. You know, it's, you know, you can't buy ammunition. Oh, whoopee. You go to the next state over and you get all you want. Yeah, that, right now you can't find any 22 shells from what I understand, but there's ammo out there. So what's going to stop people from going over to Nevada and loading up and coming back? Not a damn thing.
And Supervisor Boitano, on that same note, doesn't Mexico have all kinds of legislation outlawing guns? And they got more dead people down there than you shake a stick at.
Yeah.
Plus, we got 28,000 Border Patrolmen guarding the border down there.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that they've got gun laws in Mexico big time. If you get caught, I mean, I know if you're caught down there, you're in trouble, but they got tens of thousands of people murdered every year.
One thing I want to say about this Senate President.
Brian and I are not done yet talking.
Mr. Chairman, are you ready for a motion?
Yes, Supervisor Plaz, go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion that we support our sheriff and his letter to the governor and make an amended authorize the chairman to make a slightly amended version from the Board of Supervisors and submit it to our assembly people, and Supervisor Boitano's note of a copy specifically to the Senator, Senator Pro Tem and the and Mr. Perez, what is he, the Assembly Speaker?
Right. And also maybe send it to, possibly?
Yes.
To whatever legislators clerk feels is appropriate besides those. Our chairman.
Fine with that. That's my motion.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. Before we go any further, I'd like to say something. I'd just like to say that I agree with all the comments made here today by other board members, and I also think Sheriff Martin Ryan did a great job on this letter. In regards to a Senate President Pro Tem Steinberg, you know, he's talking about firearms and ammunition, but then he jumps down to magazines. I wish he'd, I don't know how a magazine has to do anything with his thought process in regards to firearms and ammunition out of the hands of dangerous people. But he mentions magazines, so I don't know. With that said, we have a motion and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. I was going to say something under discussion, but you didn't.
We've already discussed. All right. With that said, we're going on to our next item. Item number...
Nine.
Discussion and possible action relative to the approval of the chairman's signature on a letter of opposition regarding a subject proposed amendment as related to local government finance. Supervisor Onetto.
I asked to have this put on.
It's a 3 minutes.
Okay, we'll make it quick. No, this measure would create an additional exception to 1% limit for tax rate by city counties in their special districts as far as passing like bond indebtedness, and lower the threshold from most of them, which currently it's 2/3 of the voters must vote for approval, and lower that approval rate down to 55%. And issue I have with this, I think anytime you have legislation and it allows people by a vote, the voters, to levy a higher rate of taxation or more taxation on the general citizenry. I don't think it should be by 55% vote. I think the people I represent would be against that, because you're voting to put your hand in somebody else's pocket. And that's that. And when that's done, I think there should have to be very clear and overwhelming support saying, hey, this is a need, this is something that the society needs, and we're going to vote to do that, and we're going to do it by a very strong majority, not just 55%, because it's I feel that's incorrect.
So you're talking 66 and two-thirds?
Yep.
Well, I agree with you and everything you said there, and what this is to me is that the legislature is trying to make local government the bad guy on these taxation issues.
I think so. I think once they get it done here, I think they'd probably try to find, try to do it on a wider scale too. And one problem with government, I mean, I guess I can't be saying bad things about government. I represent my constituents, but I'm part of government now. But with that said, an awful lot of government from what I've seen in the past, and Amador County seems to be pretty conservative and watch their dollars, which I'm very happy about. But you know the old saying, what is it? If you give government more money, they'll rise to the occasion to spend it. And that's what I see happen, you know, federally and statewide. You can't give them enough money. They'd spend it. You'd have bullet trains or whatever else, you name it, they'd spend it. So I think it's good to make it, leave it two-thirds. That's why I'd like to see a letter sent opposing Assembly Constitutional Amendment Number 8. And I will say this for the record. From what I've heard, I believe that Senate Pro Temp Steinberg doesn't want any action on this. I believe this is legislation, as I remember, that he basically wasn't going anywhere for this year. But even so, I'd like to send a letter just saying, hey, this is where we're at.
Let's send it to the co-authors of the bill as well.
Yes.
Chesbro, Jones, Sawyer, Nazarian, Rendon, and Williams.
Going to have to cut down a whole forest to copy them.
And also probably the Speaker Pro Temp, I would think would be good to send to him also.
Right. Also one sent to the governor.
Probably should, in case he gets that far.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe ask that the governor veto it in the body of the letter if it makes it to his desk.
So I make a motion to that effect.
Second.
We have a motion by Supervisor O'Neill, second by Supervisor Paz. Any further comment from board members? Okay, we have a motion and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, there you have it. Moving on down to item number 10, our minutes for May 28th, 2013.
Before we go on to that next item, when we have things like this, it'd be nice to get the latest update where they are in the process. And I think that's easily enough obtainable. Because, you know, half the time they're on break and half the time they're working. And
that's a good idea.
It's hard to figure out where they're at in the process. And then there's the ever popular trailer bills that come right at the end. So,
yeah.
All right. Sorry.
That's all right.
I had a few changes in the minutes.
I did too.
I did three. I'm still chairman. I'll throw that one in on page 9.
Okay. Oh, I thought you wanted to go first because you're still chairman.
Governor.
Okay. Change of heads on page 4, that first paragraph on Kirkwood. About the middle of the paragraph, it says the contract will move to direct sections, should probably be construct sections. And move on to page 5. Talk about the CMSP, first paragraph.
$16 million?
Yeah, should probably be, I think it should be.
$1.6 million.
Pardon?
I think it was supposed to be $1.6 million. But it's shown as $16.11 million in 16-17.
Well, there's also the $300 million and $900 million. So is it $1.6 billion? Or six, I'm just trying to figure out what that is, but there's some typos there. I thought it was $3 million, $9 million, and $1.6 or $16 million, I thought. But that needs to be...
Cumulatively effect on all counties. I guess. So you're right, it should be billion then.
Well, probably need to probably look at that and fix that. And page 8, there's a little typo. Let's see. As far as about the roughly sixth paragraph down, Ms. Tequa Arnese, recorder's office, stated she's been contributing to Great Western Hartford for several years and has been extremely happy with the service she has been provided by Edward Jones, Mass Mutual. I asked her about that, because she did not include Great West, you know. Nothing against him, but she's real happy to service that. Edward Jones and Mass Mutual then.
You know, and to that point, these minutes are for the 28th, which I was absent from that meeting, and yet the comments as expressed on page 8 from Ms. Tico Arnese and Ms. Susan Grajava sound extremely familiar to me, and I was here for the meeting when they made those comments. I guess my question is, did they make them at two meetings, or have two meetings worth of topics on the 457 plan been melded into one meeting's minutes? Pico and Susan were? Well, they were here on the following meeting as well when we also reviewed the 457 plan.
But they only commented in one meeting.
Well, then... Then these are messed up, because I was here when Tico and Susan came in. Susan came in and said that she was unaware the plans were even being reviewed and so forth. I was here for that meeting. She only commented at one meeting. Then these statements are from the meeting after May 28th, not May 28th. Positive.
Well, then maybe you weren't absent on the 28th. Better check that.
No, I was absent on the 28th because we came back just shortly before the Italian picnic, the day before the Italian picnic parade.
How about we put these off to another meeting, and we'll bring them back?
There's inconsistencies right there. I had a couple of comments also on page 3 where it talks sheriff's office agreement with the U.S. Forest Service was pulled from the consent agenda, and it talks about controlled substance investigations and enforcement on U.S. Forest Service properties within Amador County. I would prefer that state public lands managed by the U.S. Forest Service within Amador County.
Yeah, good
just,
catch.
Just to keep this rewriting of history from going any further. And then my last comment on page 3 was also on that Kirkwood Out Valley project, and it's talking about Mr. Michael Sharp saying that although diesel is the cleanest option for the environment, the concern of an environmental disaster that could occur if an accident should take place while transporting diesel on State Route 88 has become increasingly bothersome to residents, representatives of KPUD, Amador County, and the U.S. Forest Service. Number one, getting rid of the generators at Kirkwood is not going to stop the transporting of diesel occurring on State Route 88. Kirkwood's snow slope groomers, their loaders, sand loaders, heavy equipment, trucks all run on diesel anyway. So that's going to continue to be transported on 88. And is it a concern of Amador County of a environmental disaster if a have we expressed that as a concern of the county, or is this just salesmanship?
Well, who from Amador County is concerned? Yeah. I guess the question is who.
Yeah, well, they stated as if it was a position taken by county government, and I just don't think that's
accurate. Could have been maybe our environmental health or something, but we don't know that. I really don't think it's any of our business. You know, diesel's going to go up and down that highway like it always is.
Well, like I said, this is apparently, I don't know if it's quoting Mr. Michael Sharp or just...
I think he said that,
verbatim.
Yes.
Verbatim.
Okay. We can quiz him when he comes back for his... he's going to come back every few months, give us a report.
So the regular minutes, we're going to hold these over to our next meeting.
Yep.
Does specifically because of the apparent confusion under the 457 plan issue.
Yes.
Affirmative.
Anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
We're adjourned.